Let's talk about Riverside.fm, the leading podcast and video creation platform that's changing the game on how creators record content. Riverside FM allows you to record studio quality audio and up to 4K video on their platform. Now you can interview a guest 1,000 miles away and it'll sound like you're sitting in the same room. It's as easy to use as Zoom, but gives much higher quality audio and video recordings. Did we mention that they have a mobile app? This allows guests to connect directly from their phone and record content from anywhere. After your content is finished, you can easily grab clips to share them across your social media channels. So if you're looking for a hero platform for all your recording needs, from podcasts to webinars to other video content, you should be using Riverside FM. Sign up today so you can focus on your content and leave the quality to Riverside FM. Use promo code SHIPIT and receive a 30% discount on your first 3 months of your subscription. That's promo code SHIPIT to receive a 30% discount on the first 3 months of your subscription. Back to the show. Welcome to the City That Never Sleeps podcast. I'm Josh and I'm joined by my co-host Alex. We are here today to discuss mainly Nets, obviously, as they are now up 2-1 in the series. So we have a little update episode. Obviously, we'll get you an episode once a week. So here's our once-a-week episode. It comes after a Nets loss on the buzzer, almost beater, by Kevin Durant as it hit the top of the rim and went out. But a very intriguing series, at least to this point, wasn't looking intriguing up to the last game. And if the Nets won, obviously, they would be up 3-0, looking to close it down in Milwaukee. But just like that, the series is back, and we're going to have one more game in Milwaukee. We'll see if they can tie it. Obviously, this will be happening Sunday at 3 p.m. But yeah, 2-1, and I guess I'll throw it to Alex. How are you doing? And talk about your Brooklyn Nets.
Well, I'm doing good today, but I wasn't so happy last night, obviously. You know, it's disappointing how the Nets performed. You know, the Bucks didn't perform outstanding either, besides Chris Middleton and Giannis really took center stage. No one else. Drew Holiday only had that one layup at the end, and that was pretty much all he contributed all game. And from their supporting cast, they definitely didn't have much going. To be fair, the Nets didn't either from theirs. Bruce Brown had a very, you know, solid game besides the miss layup at the end, which would have been probably the one we needed him to make the most. But floater city from him, and he was very solid throughout the game. Joe Harris had a quiet night. I think he only made 1-3, and that was his only points of the game. Kevin Durant started off rough in the first half, but in the second half, he really got going. I believe he only had like something like 7 points in the first half, and then he had 23 in the second half. And him and Kyrie kind of started to step up as the game went along, but very low scoring game. I wouldn't say as much of good defense as to just bad offense from both teams, but the Bucks are able to edge it out. Nets from, you know, field goal wise, they were 36 of 94, and they were 9 of 32 from 3. So just not very good at all from the Nets, 25% from 3 there, much lower than their usual average from the three-point line, and mainly to do with Joe Harris and his lack of production from there as well. I think Jeff Green really is someone that we would miss, because you could see Giannis was just bullying Blake Griffin around, Nick Claxton around, whoever was guarding him, they were just getting bullied. And so we need someone in there. I'm not saying Jeff Green would be the most ideal person, but I think he's another piece that really is very important to this Nets team. And I was joking with Josh last night. I was saying Jeff Green's almost more important to the Nets at this time, at least in this series, because of his work defensively than James Harden would be. Obviously, James Harden would help with some of the offensive issues that we had in this past game, and maybe would have scored a few more points that would have edged us out. But I think Jeff Green is really someone that we need back soon and very quickly, because he's definitely someone who is very important to this Nets team. You know, it's just disappointing, but I think, you know, this happened in the Celtics series as well. You know, we lost a game, but then we came back and, you know, obviously ended up winning the series 4-1. I think hopefully similar thing will happen here. And, you know, they definitely used Giannis a lot. I think, you know, after this game, the Nets are going to have to game plan a lot more around him, a lot more around Chris Middleton. There was at times that we were covering Giannis so much that Chris Middleton was just wide open, and we just can't do that. And so that's definitely something we're going to have to look to for game four on Sunday. That'll be 3:15 p.m. Eastern time, game four, which will be you know, a big game. Hopefully the Nets take it. Last game in Milwaukee before we go back to Brooklyn.
And you look at the 86-83 final between both teams. I have my computer fan going. I don't know if that picks up. Sometimes it picks up in the podcast. Sometimes it doesn't. I just want to address it if you can hear it. If not, that's all good. Then you'll think I'm a crazy person who is just hearing random things. But anyway, going to the scoreline, yeah, 86-83. We don't see that from both teams, more like the Nets, though, when they're putting up hundreds of points per game. And that's my question to Alex. Was this a lack of shooting? And I think that's where you're going to go with your answer. Was it a lack of shooting, or was it more defensive, or was it a mix of both? I kind of have my answer. Obviously, I think it was a lack of shooting. I want to go over some stats that I pulled from the first and second quarter. But yeah, I just said that's my question for you.
I mean, it has to be the lack of shooting. You know, there was some decent defensive moments. Brook Lopez definitely was nice for the Bucks, especially in the paint. He had 5 blocks. So, you know, they were decent defensively, but there was times that we had open looks and we just weren't able to sink the shots, whether that be Joe Harris, whether that be Kyrie or Kevin Durant in the first half. You know, some of the supporting players, Blake Griffin not really getting involved. And, you know, Landry Shamet not having a great night. Mike James really having a poor night, I thought. He missed a whole bunch of shots that he should be making or was making recently. So I think there was just, you know, it was more bad shooting, I'd say, than it was good defense. But there was definitely some good defense in the paint by the Bucks for sure.
And Mike James, I guess I'm guessing he's stepping in for the, you know, kind of trying to fill the role for the missing Jeff Green. Obviously, if you see him on the floor, you probably don't recognize him, and that's because he started like one game this season, played in 13 games total this season. Obviously, he's bounced around throughout the NBA. I don't know if he's a familiar name. I mean, some teams might recognize him. He's played for the Raptors, 76ers, and I believe the Pelicans last year. But I thought that was just an interesting guy that we saw on the floor, especially in the blowout win for the Nets against the Bucks, and that was why I was kind of saying this is like a surprise thing now, this series. After watching game two, you know, I kind of thought it was all over, to be honest. I mean, it was insane, and this game was just super close. The stats I wanted to pull, that it was just the scoring numbers from both the first and second half, how it completely changed. Obviously, the Nets went down early. The first quarter ended 30-11 with a Milwaukee Bucks lead. And then the second quarter ended 31-15 points-wise, Brooklyn Nets up there. And then it was basically even throughout the rest of the game. So just a really good job of the Nets kind of rebounding, and I knew immediately that they were – I had no second guess. I mean, I completely – I'm not going to say I called it, but I always love to say I called it. And, you know, Alex texted me. He's like, you know, Nets are down 22-8. I'm like, yeah, they're coming back. And you're just like, okay. Like whatever, they came back. So, I mean, it's just what this Nets team is kind of built to do, and that's what they did do. You know, they did do. And then I guess just going to KD, another series where this guy's taking over. I think it was 29 the first game, 30 in the second game, and then 32, I think, in this past game, or maybe I'm mixing out the numbers, but I know he had 29, 30, and 32. Here, let me see with the second game. It was 32. So it was 29, 32 in game two, and then 30 in this past game. Had a double-double in the first game of this series. Obviously, he's taking over. And then Kyrie, he had 22 points last night. So, but yeah, I mean, like you said, Alex, with Giannis and Chris Middleton, obviously, both of them having double doubles. Giannis having 33 points and 14 rebounds. You have Chris Middleton having 35 points and 15 rebounds. They really lead this team down the stretch. I mean, you could see that. I like seeing Bobby Portis out there, the former Nick. I mentioned that to Alex too. So that was pretty funny. I forgot he was on Milwaukee, but he's actually a starter for them, like he was for the Knicks as well. So that was kind of cool seeing that out on the floor, but. It's a really good series. It is, right now at least. We'll have to see how Game 3 looks on Sunday.
One thing I would say that's positive for Nets fans is if you look at it, Kevin Durant had a pretty awful night in the grand scheme of things, besides him kind of blowing up in the fourth quarter. And, you know, the Nets had a very bad night in general. Defensively, offensively, it was just not very good performance. And the fact that they lost only by 3 points, I think that's a positive sign considering Milwaukee's stars. Not that Milwaukee played extremely exceptional, but their stars definitely did. Chris Middleton and Giannis were definitely making a lot of their shots, whereas Kevin Durant and Kyrie were not. So I think that's some positives that you do have to look at if you are a Nets fan. But, you know, it wasn't good, and you're hoping that they can bounce back in game four.
Yeah, exactly. And I guess it seems like we've recapped enough here. Bouncing around the NBA a little bit, I mean, the series that really stands out to me that we could definitely see the team in the finals, I mean, I don't know, right? Because it's odd whether you want to go with the Clippers, but at this point there's no Lakers included in this. But to be honest with me, this Phoenix Suns team is looking close to unstoppable. You know, obviously what they did to the Lakers is a story in itself. And to be up already 2-0 to the Nuggets in pretty good fashion as well. Won the first game by, what was it? It was 122-105. Second game, 123-98. I mean, they're doing everything right now. So, I mean, just something I wanted to point out there. And it's like three main players. It's not James Harden, Kyrie Irving, Kevin Durant, right? They don't have the three big superstars. But with Chris Paul, Devin Booker, and Mekhi Bridges, they're getting it done. All three players are putting up 20 points in consecutive games. And everything's clicking for them. So I don't know. I just wanted to throw that out there. I think with the Suns, it's like a big team effort. The bench, the starting five, they're all working together to, you know, play really well. And then, you know, you have the Utah's also up 2-0 against the Clippers. They're looking really good. And then I think this Hawks series is tied right now as well at 1-1. So they're playing today. So let's move on to the Knicks stuff. All right, here we go. We talk about New York basketball. That is what this podcast is. So let's stick with the Knicks. I was looking at some top point guards that the Knicks can target. Obviously, we talked about Lonzo Ball, but there's some other options as well out there. That includes Chris Paul, which I don't know if you're going to want to look after him. I don't know if he's probably going to want to stay with Phoenix after this season. You know, there's also Devontae Graham, who always seems to play well against us. For the Hornets. And then you have Kendrick Nunn as well. There's Kyle Lowry, which was heard about that could have came to the Knicks, you know, in a trade this season. Kyle Lowry's on the tip, I feel like, of retiring at this point. So it's him and Chris Paul that are two, like, older players that, like, we would have to win that season for them to come. And then there's Dennis Schroeder, who just doesn't seem to fit well with this Lakers team. So I don't know what his future holds. But these are some players that kind of stood out to me as point guards that could come to the Knicks, that have a possibility of coming to the Knicks. And obviously there's not much to talk about the Knicks right now when they're not in the playoffs anymore. But Alex, you have anything on this?
Yeah, when I look at the list here that you wrote down, I think you're looking at, I mean, Chris Paul, Kyle Lowry, like you said, I don't think Chris Paul is leaving Phoenix. Kyle Lowry's just a little bit too old. I could see him coming still. Dennis Schroeder, not sure if he's exactly the best fit. He also might stay with the Lakers. Who knows? Kendrick Nunn, I feel like, isn't quite good enough, to be honest. I think Devontae Graham is an interesting player. Obviously, Charlotte now with having LaMelo, who they drafted. They have Terry Rozier. You know, maybe Graham has been playing on the bench a bit. So I think he's maybe someone who's a starter caliber point guard. He can hit threes. He's a good three-point shooter. And I think he might be a nice fit for the Knicks, and you may be able to get him on a decently priced deal. So that's the name that stuck out to me.
Yeah, so I mean, we talked about both teams, and shorter episode today, but I think that's fine. Let's do trivia. So I'm going to throw it to Alex first, because I think that he has not gone first before with his trivia question, so I will let him go first.
So my trivia question for today, it's a much easier one. I'm sure Josh is going to get it because it was way, you know, around the news everywhere. But it kind of involved here in, you know, talking about it anyway. So we can kind of have a quick conversation about it after the question. Who was the only Knick this season to be voted first in the NBA MVP rankings? So he got a vote for first place as the MVP.
Oh, I'm sure it was Julius Randle.
So he do you understand the question, what I'm saying? Like, they were voted number one. You know how, like, they tier it for the MVP rankings, like, 1, 2, and 3, and you put your top three, and then whoever gets the most points? Who was the only Nick player to be ranked one, and it was only by one person who voted for that?
Yeah, I'm guessing Julius Randle.
Okay, so it was actually Derrick Rose, which is fascinating. Rose. Yeah, I guess you didn't hear it. I saw it all over social media. I'm surprised you didn't see it. But yeah, Derrick Rose was voted by a certain player. We don't know who voted, obviously, because all the voting is confidential. But someone voted for Derrick Rose as the MVP this season. Interesting little tidbit there.
Yeah, so there you go. I got that question wrong after it being that obvious. But no, I did not see that, Alex. So that's very interesting. I'm surprised. I thought it would be like definitely Julius Randle, but that's interesting. So my question for you, this is a yes or no question. So, you know, got two options, 50% chance that you're getting this one right, Alex.
Yep.
My question for you is, has a Nets player ever been awarded MVP? Yes or no?
No, they have not.
That is correct. That was a very quick instinct. Why is that? Do you have a reasoning or just instinct?
So as I was scrolling down TikTok a little bit, and they were showing like all the MVPs, like, you know how they have the chart, like last 10 years, last 25 years, last 7, and then by the Nets, there's just like a dash, like, nope. So yeah, that's how I knew that one. But yeah, no Nets MVP. Maybe that'll change soon though.
Yeah. I mean, obviously Kevin Durant has won it before, I believe in 2008, if I'm not mistaken, but there hasn't been a Nets player to win it, you know, with the Nets. But let me actually check that MVP winner.
And James Harden won it a couple of times as well. I don't think Kyrie ever won MVP, but he did win Rookie of the Year.
Yeah. All right. So we have the winners here. Let's go through them a little bit. We have Harden winning in the 2017-18 season. KD won it in the 2013-14 season. So that was when he won it. 2008-2009 was LeBron, which is pretty obvious. But yeah, KD won it once. Harden won it once. Yeah, and that's about it. But yeah, going back all those years, there hasn't been there hasn't been a Nets player to win it yet. So we'll have to see if that changes in the near future. But that has been the trivia section of this podcast. Alex, any final thoughts before we go? Before I do the little outro.
No, not really. I mean, we'll be back next week, and that'll probably be games 4 and 5. We'll be recapping. I don't know exactly when the Nets schedule is for the remaining week. I only know about game 4, but I'm guessing we'll probably be doing it after game 6 or before game 6. So around that time, same time, Saturday morning, every week. That's kind of what our plan is as of right now. It may change and we'll let you know. But yeah, I'm excited for game 4 and I'm excited to see how this series goes. And hopefully the Nets make it through to the conference championship.
The deal is for next week, obviously, depending on how good the Nets do or bad the Nets do, that'll be when our episode comes out. So they win 2 straight games, right? And they get it done by Tuesday. We'll probably have the episode out by Wednesday or Thursday. If it does get to where Alex was saying around that game 6 area, which is going to be on Thursday, then we'll probably be recording after that game. So depending on, you know, when the series ends, the episode could, you know, we could wait a week. Just because that final game, game 7, if it goes to game 7, which, you know, any series could, that would be on Saturday. So we would probably not record on a Sunday, but if we do record on a Sunday, it would be like later on Sunday, and that would come out on Monday. So whenever this series ends, that'll judge when we record. But can I, Alex, right? I mean, I think that's where we're going to go with this.
Yeah, that sounds good. And we'll have an episode out for whenever, you know, this series looks like it's coming to an end.
Yeah. So whenever the series ends, we'll give you an episode. Thanks so much for listening to the City That Never Sleeps podcast. You can go subscribe wherever you're listening. Give us 5 stars, you know, really helps us out there. And I think that'll be it for this episode of the podcast. We will see you next time for whenever the series ends, whether it's the Nets or the Bucks, most likely be the Nets. And we will see if our predictions of the series are correct by next episode. See you next week.
Welcome to the All 80s Movies Podcast.
I'm Bill.
And I'm Jason. And this is the podcast where we talk about the blockbusters, the flops, and everything in between from one of the freshest decades for movies, the 1980s. So whether you're a brain, a jock, a valley girl, or a Jedi, we've got some 80s classics for you.
Do these movies stand the test of time? Are we discovering something new? Is there an 80s movie we're finally watching for the first time?
Join us each week as we dive into the cinematic nostalgia that inspired and influenced a generation. From the hits to the cult classics, we'll discuss our earliest memories, favorite scenes, fun facts, and our not-so-favorite movie moments, too.
It's the All 80s Movies Podcast, now available on all major streaming platforms. Please subscribe and happy listening.